Hi, I'm Mark Schaefer, the author of Marketing Rebellion, The Most Human Company Wins. And you are listening to the Social Media Talks podcast with Alan Hennessy from compassmedia.ie.
Hi there, this is Alan here from the Social Media Talks podcast. And before we begin this episode, we'd like to give a big shout out to our sponsors and also our supporters. The Social Media Talks podcast is sponsored by ContentCal, creating a solution to simplify and speed up how teams can plan, collaborate on, approve, publish, and analyze social media content in a familiar and intuitive calendar interface. In just 3 years, they have been trusted by over 10,000 businesses and agencies in 110 countries to deliver social media content at scale, and have recently won an award for the Content Management Tool of the Year. For more information on ContentCal, visit their website at contentcal.io. We would also like to remind you the Social Media Talks podcast is proudly supported by charityradio.ie, one of Ireland's leading online radio stations supporting charities across Ireland for free. And now, this week's episode.
Welcome to Social Media Talks Podcasts, brought to you by compassmedia.ie.
Hello and thank you for joining me. This is the Social Media Talks Podcast, brought to you by compassmedia.ie, episode number 65. I'm your host, Alan Hennessy, and this is the podcast to help business owners who want to learn more about social media marketing. And if you'd like to listen to any of our previous podcasts, you can do so by visiting our website at compassmedia.ie/podcasts. You can also join our Facebook group by logging on to facebook.com/groups/social media talks. And we're looking forward to today's show. Today I'm going to be joined by Mark Schaefer, a globally recognized speaker, educator, business consultant, and the author who blogs at Grow, one of the top marketing blogs in the world. Mark has worked in global sales, PR, and marketing positions for 30 years and now provides consulting services as an executive director of Schaefer Marketing Solutions. He specializes in marketing strategies and social media workshops, and clients include both startups and global brands such as Adidas, Cisco, Johnson & Johnson, Dell, Pfizer, the US Air Force, and the UK government. Mark has an advanced degree in marketing and organizational development and holds 7 patents. He is also a faculty member of the Graduate Studies Program at Rutgers University. He is also the co-host of The Marketing Companion, one of the top 10 marketing podcasts on iTunes. Mark is the 7th most mentioned person by CMOs on Twitter and among the top 10 most retweeted marketing authorities in the world. And he is listed as one of the top 10 authorities on social selling by Forbes. His blog is one of the top 1% of blogs in the world, based on number one readers' comments. And he was named as the number 2 blogger in the world by Social Media Examiner, and was named number 1 on a list compiled by Buffer. He is one of among the top 10 marketing influencers in the world. And Mark is a popular entertaining commentator and has appeared on many national television stations and periodically included on the Wall Street Journal, Wired, and the New York Times, and CNN, National Public Radio, and CNBC, and the BBC, and CBS News. And he is a regular contributing columnist to the Harvard Business Review. And today we're going to be talking to Mark all about his new book, Marketing Rebellion, The Most Human Company Wins. And it is a thrilling new view of business and a manifesto for human-centered marketing. It has hit number 1 in both the marketing and advertising categories on Amazon. And we're going to be talking to Mark all about the book and some of the insights that he has found in this book. So without further ado, I think we'll transition straight over to the interview with Mark. Hi, Mark. How are you? And thanks for joining us today on the Social Media Talk Show. It is an absolute pleasure. I've been looking forward to this and I've been talking about it on the podcast for the last couple of weeks. So it's an absolute pleasure to have your company here today.
Well, it's a delight, Alan. I know we've been connected for a long time and I've been looking forward to having a conversation with you.
Giving you a brief introduction at the start of the show, but you might give us a little bit of background for anyone who doesn't know you, but I find that very, very hard to believe at this stage.
Well, I think I'm a teacher at everything that I do. I teach at a university, but I also look at my blogging and my writing and my speaking as an opportunity to share my ideas and help and teach people. I've written 7 books. I'd never really had a plan to write books, but I just get curious. And when I see things going on in the world that I don't really understand, I sort of dig in and try to understand it. And usually when I figure it out, it results in something that can help a lot of people. And if it's bigger than a blog post, then I turn it into a book.
Brilliant, brilliant stuff. And of course, today we're going to be talking all about your new book, which is Marketing Rebellion, The Most Human Company Wins. And I love even the title of it. Like when you said you were writing it a couple of, I think it was about, 2 years in the making now at this stage.
Yeah.
I just was so excited. I've read all of your books and I just found them fascinating. Especially Known as well was one of my favorites. It just opened up so many different trains of thought, I suppose is the word I would use for that.
Sure, sure.
But I think with this book, it is just, it's, as you say, it is a rebellion and it's just fascinating, some of the content in it. And, you know, I think it goes against a lot of things that people are sort of saying, oh, in the business, like it's been, you know, especially in marketing, you know, this is what you do. And it opens up eyes to a totally new way of thinking. And it's something that I've been sort of, I suppose, championing for the last couple of years as well, saying it's about your customers as much as anything. But yeah, I just think it's fascinating the way you've wrote it and the content that's in it.
Well, thank you very much. And the reception to the book has been truly overwhelming. I'll tell you a short story that there was someone from, I think she was based in the UK, and she said, she wrote me this note and she said she was ready to give up on her business. And she read my book and she was sort of inspired to like try things in a new way. So she scrapped her CRM system and that she paid for. And instead of using this automated CRM system, she started calling people back and talking to them in person. And she said, the very first day I got 4 new sales just by talking to people. And then she wrote, end of week 1, 40 new sales. End of week 2, 70 new sales. She said, you've completely turned my business around just by acting like a human being instead of automating everything like I did before. And so that is just like, that's the best reward I could ever have.
Yeah, too right.
Is that I saved this person's business through my advice. And so I'm getting lots and lots of good feedback, Alan, from all over the world about people who are loving the book.
Yeah, and I find it that, you know, like I look at it and when I read it first, I was going through it and I was reading it and everything I was looking at, I kept saying, yeah, that's so right. That's so right. And it's, as you say, because and I always quote you and saying, you know, we live in a world of digital shock and we really do. But when you turn it back and you start talking to your customers, I think it changes the whole dynamic of the conversation. And as much social media and digital marketing and promotion and marketing that you can do, I think talking to that customer directly and finding out what it is about them that you can help them with, it just opens up so many new avenues.
Well, it is a different way to think about things, because sort of the main premise of the book is that the customer is the marketer. And marketers, we've all been sort of in lockstep doing the things that we've been doing and going to conferences and reading blog posts, and we talk to each other about best practices, and it's sort of become this big echo chamber where we're all sort of comforting each other about what really works. But we haven't looked up and realized that over the last few years, our customers have moved away from us. Their expectations have changed, and there's been a backlash against automation. There's been a backlash even against loyalty, which is, look, this is, a lot of people have been sort of disturbed by some of the things I put in the book. I was disturbed by the things I put in the book. There was literally a time, Alan, as I was writing this book and immersing myself in this research, and I came up this, I just had this recognition, this realization that we are in such a different world that I believed it was. And it shook me to my foundations. I literally sat in my office and sort of gasped and thought, I don't know what it means to be a marketer anymore. And figuring that out became the process for the book. Because I'm not just, I don't want to just lay problems on people. I want to say, look, here's the path forward. And we've got a big problem in marketing. Marketing is broken. It's sick. It's become a glorified IT department. And we're doing things that customers hate. And as I reflected in the book, the reason I got into marketing is because the first, I opened up my very first marketing book when I was at the university. And, you know, Dr. Philip Kotler described marketing as a combination of psychology and sociology and anthropology. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's the coolest thing ever. who wouldn't want to major in that? Marketing is all things human. It's all things human, but nobody thinks that way anymore. But it is, and we can't avoid it. And we need to recapture that truth and recapture that excitement and that energy and that human connection, or we're all going to be lost, because that's what customers demand, and they always win, and we don't have a choice. So it's time to wake up and really give people what they want and be responsible in the marketplace.
Yeah, and I see that totally. And I look at it and I think it's sort of, when I've sat back and I've looked at how we market and how we do, how like with myself and my own company, is like how I do my marketing. And I've sort of been on down the road of the same as everyone else and saying, oh, you have to promote your business online. You have to, you know, you have to do all your social, you have to do all that. But I think the other side of that is like, it's when I stand back from that, I go, you know, hold on. If someone's trying to market to me, what's the best form that they can do that for me? And that's probably is just to actually ring me and say hello and saying, how can I help you? As opposed to, you know, bombarding me with so much social content. And like, I even read I know there's part of your book where you've actually were talking about where you actually were saying that, you know, that most people who are marketers actually don't actually connect with their audience. They don't actually pick up that phone. They don't talk to that person. They don't even know who they are. And I think that is what we all should be sort of getting back to that and thinking about that type of, you know, that's where the key to all of this is now, especially in the year now, like in 2019, I think it's more so prevalent than it's ever been before.
Well, I think you had a really important piece of wisdom there. I've actually been working on a new blog post about the very simple first step you can take toward a human-centered approach to marketing. And it's just to sort of reflect on, how do I want people to market to me? Look inside your own company and see, what am I doing that people hate? Just stop it.
Yeah.
Just stop that. Stop robocalls. Stop it. Stop spamming. Stop lead nurturing, which is just a friendly way of saying, I'm going to keep bothering you until you block me. And think about what you love. What do companies do that you love? And just embrace that. Embrace the things that you love as a customer. To be a great marketer, just put yourself in the shoes of your favorite customer, or what it's like to be a customer. And it's just that simple. Somehow we've lost our way where we treat people differently offline and online. We do things to people online we would never do to them in person.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree.
You know, it's like a pop-up ad, you know, say, oh, well, okay. Well, thank you for visiting my store, but I'm not going to let you see anything in my store until you give me my email address. You would never do that.
No,
exactly. In real life. So why has that become a best practice? And by the way, if you run the math on pop-up ads, you're much better off just giving away your content to, you know, because most of the people aren't even going to connect with you because they don't trust you to give an email address. So just give it to them and ignite that content, set it free.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, and I'm just, as you're talking there and you're saying about, you know, about that customers and way we treat them differently. And I've always said that, you know, when people go online, and especially when, you know, businesses go online, they become a different person. They become an animal, and it's not even what they do. You know, like I was,
that's a great quote, by the way.
It just changes everything. And I say to them, like, why are you doing that? Because there's no point. You're not making any headway in any shape or form. And like, it's like, I, even when I'm teaching, I would always say, we talk about the Facebook and we talk about social media, we talk about all that. And I say, like, you know, if someone makes a comment or you put out a piece of content and someone answers it back, I said, would you in real life, just if they came up to you and they had that conversation with you, would you just put your thumb up and say, and literally not say a word and just keep putting your thumb up? And I said, you wouldn't. So why are you doing it online? You know, you need to respond. You need to talk to people because that's how conversations start. You know,
I was helping a person in London with some marketing strategy, and I looked at some of their, like, their Facebook page and some of the other properties, and people were like engaging with them and asking for help. They were like crying out for information and help. She said, "Oh, well, we just don't have time to respond to them." And it's like, holy cow, where is your head? These are customers who are saying, you know, we really want to connect with you. And they're so, it's amazing, really, how broad this sort of sickness is that we've created this own little bubble, disconnected from the real world. That's what marketing has become. And I love marketing. I just can't think of a more interesting profession, a more fun profession. It's endlessly fascinating. And I believe in marketing as a profession. And I love my friends who are in marketers. And that's why I'm just so passionate about this book, because you just have to listen to what I have in this book, because that is, it's the truth. And it's time to wake up, and it's time to move forward.
Yeah. And I love, like, there's one of the quotes that you use in the book is that you can't own your customer's buyer journey or the sales funnel. You never interrupt, and you earn that invitation. So build that trust is everything in what we do. And I thought it's so true. It's just so true that, you know, as you say, you can't buy a customer's journey, because they're the ones that are in that control of, and it's up to you to just earn their trust.
It was all one of those ideas and one of those facts that led to this sort of epiphany to me that, oh my gosh, where are we? What are we doing here? And I mean, this idea of the sales funnel, and every single company in the world has a PowerPoint chart somewhere about the sales funnel. Every company in the world is trying to figure out how do we own the customer journey. And this realization that those ideas are gone is stunning. It's stunning to me. It's stunning to many people in marketing and in sales. But again, if you just use common sense and think about your own experience, you choose your journey. There might be a place for advertising. It might make you aware of something new. But people collect their information in millions of different ways, in unique ways. As I was writing the book, Google was coming out with this series of white papers about how there is no customer journey. Even for people searching for the same things on Google, no two people are alike. And they said, there is no sales funnel. There is no customer journey. And after hearing this over and over again, I thought, well, look, I'm going to put this in my book. People are not going to like to hear this, but it is the new world. It is part of this third rebellion that I talk about. And I want to be successful, and I want my friends and my readers to be successful. So let's face the truth and figure it out together.
Yeah, and I think that, like, the book, it answers a lot of questions, but it also says, you know, it sort of explodes everything that we've been doing for the last number of years. We've just been saying, yes, when we do this, and this is how we go, and this, and I think I hold my hands up, I would probably be in that same situation. But I think over the last couple of months, I've started to reevaluate. And after reading the book, it has made me reevaluate it even more that, you know, that we're actually, we have to change, because if we don't change now, we're just going to be left behind. And if we don't take that, the customer into consideration and say from their point of view, how can we help you? As you say in the book, I have it written down here, don't be in the customer's community, be part of their community.
Isn't that an amazing quote?
It's a powerful quote.
I had the greatest honor, Alan. Fabio Tambosi, who was with Nike and now he's with Adidas, he came and visited me at my home. Mm. And that was part of the creative process I used in this book. I have that at the end of the book where I talk about some of these ideas are just really quite radical. And what I wanted to do is involve the smartest, brightest people I know. I wanted to talk to them and with open-ended questions and say, what's going on and what do you see and what are the problems with marketing and how do we move forward? And all of those ideas came, coalesced to help form this really, I mean, the scope of the book is vast. I mean, there's an idea or an inspiration on every single page.
Yeah, I would totally agree.
And Fabio, you know, he came, he spent half a day with me and we just sort of brainstormed. And Fabio had an incredible impact on the book. And he was talking about how his human-centered approach when he was working with the World Cup events. And he said, we heard from our customers, we're tired of hearing about heroes. Make us the hero.
Yeah.
And he just said, wow, they're right. We need to put them at the center of everything. We can't just broadcast into a community. We have to be down there with them in the streets and you know, down in the neighborhoods, down in the favelas of Rio de Janeiro. You know, I said, marketing today, it's down with the people who are doing the work and carrying the conversations. Marketing occurs, you know, at the tip of the shovel. And that was one of the most powerful quotes in the book for me. And I've used that quote over and over and over again.
Yeah, I do.
Because it sums up so much.
Yeah.
You can't be in a community. You can't be in a customer group. You can't be in a city. You must be of the group.
It is.
Because that's what people believe. They want to see you. They want to trust you. But you've got to be down there with them somehow.
And I like, there's so many different case studies that you have wrote about in the book. And, you know, like the types of, say, American Eagle, who was, that it was a very, and I thought it was a very good point in what was said there about the way they, you know, they actually employed people that were in that generation. And that's it. So
yeah,
they understood exactly. And I just thought
talk about being of a community,
yeah.
Right?
Literally.
They have teenagers on their executive board and their marketing departments.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go for it.
I think it's amazing. And the same with the PBR beer as well. And the guy from Fizz, I thought that was great the way he actually, the brand that was of no use or that nobody wanted to drink, that he literally just changed the whole dynamics of the way it was marketing and finding out. But yet again, it goes back to the simplicity of, you know, talking to people and understanding what it is that they're doing and finding out why they're doing it. That's the key here, I think.
Yeah, I think that the, you know, PBR, for people that are listening that may not know what that is, it's an American beer that's it's generally regarded as like the worst American beer. And it's become absolutely the beer of the millennial generation.
Mm.
It's everywhere. And the reason, I mean, one of the big ideas in my book is this idea of belonging. How do you find a group of people and create this space where you make them belong? And that's what Ted Wright did with his company Fizz in this turnaround for PBR, where PBR was just a nothing brand. And when he talked to people who were actually drinking it, he found this young group of people drinking it. And that's exactly why they were drinking it. because it's like anti-establishment. There's no advertising. No one's forced, you know, there, it's not like all these, you know, Hollywood commercials. They just said, it, you know, this is a beer that sort of stands for nothing and stands for everything I want to be. And he said, okay, wow, that's what it is. And so that's how they sort of promoted the brand. And there was zero advertising. Zero advertising. It was all building this word of mouth community. And now it's kind of become an institution.
Yeah, it is. It's incredible. Like, I'm just thinking as I was talking here, my daughter was telling me only a couple of weeks back there that she was, they were out here in Dublin and they just came across this bar, and it was literally a bar, and you know, wasn't major, one of the major attractions in Dublin, but it was a bar. And what they done was is they had got all of these small little microbreweries to come in. And what they done was is they literally just said, you know, here's a six pack of beers of glass, like say six pack glasses. Sit down, try them, see what you like. See what you like. There was no promoting of it, no marketing. They just happened to come across it. And he says by the end of the night, the place was stuffed with people simply. And they weren't, you know, pushing anything out. They were just saying, look, try it and see what you think and if you like it. Yeah. And it converted them into, like, to actually going back to the bar, but also created that whole want of the, you know, of the actual products and stuff. And I just said, you know, that was a really smart idea. No promotion. Yeah. It was just a pop-up and it just happened. And it worked well because there was
and
no...
the other thing, another key idea there is that, you know, it wasn't... probably like, you know, it wasn't a celebrity. It wasn't a model.
Exactly.
It was a real person there that knew stuff about the beer that could have a conversation with you, because people, they don't just buy products today. They buy stories.
Yeah.
You know, I want to hear who made this beer. Why did they make this beer? What's special about this beer?
Yeah. And very, 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 very simple.
You know, the synaptic connections start to fire.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's just that.
So it's a beautiful idea. I love that. I love that example.
And I'm sure, I know from listening to you, and from the way you've been talking about the book, and that you've heard so many different stories. So, what would be the one big one that sort of stood out to you that I'd be fascinated to find out, because I know there was a number that stood out for me, but I'd love to hear from yourself, like what you want.
My very favorite story in the book, and really my marketing business hero today, is Emily Weiss of Glossier. If you want to see a company that's absolutely doing marketing the right way in this hyper empowered consumer world, and building a big, important brand, it's Emily. So a couple key ideas. I mean, Emily started out as a blogger. So one of the things, ideas I have in my book is in the past, our businesses and brands were built through an accumulation of advertising impressions. That's how we learned about all these, you know, when you and I were growing up in this world, that's how we kind of heard about brands. But we don't really see advertising like we used to. We go to Netflix and we don't see commercials, and we listen to Spotify or we listen to podcasts or audiobooks and we don't hear commercials, and we've got ad blockers on our phones. And even if we see them, we don't believe them, but we do believe people. So the future businesses and brands will be built by human impressions, not advertising impressions. Emily was a blogger. She built an audience. She built an emotional connection with thousands and thousands of people who loved her, and she started a company. So the company, the emotional connection, it really wasn't based on how good her products were, although that came later. It was based on, we love you. We believe in you. We'll buy almost anything you sell us, because she's created these human impressions. She worked for years to build this trust on her blog. So the personal brand was the brand. Very key point. She made the customers the hero of her marketing. When you go on her website and she built this cosmetic line, she said, I wanted to build a company that doesn't talk down to people. My company is your friend. The people that are on her site are not Hollywood models. They're her customers. She's connected to her customers. When her customers have ideas, they're going to hear from Emily, she's still involved. She's still engaging. She said, I'm really, you know, my whole business is content marketing. My product is the content. when she sends out the content, she sends all these little extra things that people post online. The products are shipped in this pink bubble wrap that makes a perfect background for Instagram. She posts all these stickers and all these things that you can post, put on your computer. You can, you know, put them on the product. So she said all of her sales are coming from the customers. Mm. The customer is the marketer.
Yeah.
Emily gets it. And that's why she's transforming the cosmetic business. Because think about a company like L'Oreal. It's unapproachable, right? It's these big models, you know, stepping out of pools, dripping out of, you know, and it's a model, it's an image that's unapproachable. It's unattainable. It's not even really based in humanity at all. And Emily is a complete opposite. She's one of us. She's our friend. Hmm. We love her. We support her. We're going to buy it and we're going to share it because we believe in her.
Yeah.
And she's helped people belong.
Yeah.
And it's the single best example. I just love everything that she's doing. She's my new business hero in this world.
Yeah. And I think it's very true in what you're saying there, because as well as that, when it does go out and when the products do go out, that, you know, as you say, it's people like me and you who are saying, yeah, I can have that. And yeah, I could wear that, or I could, you know, I could have that, whatever the product may be. But the point being is that it's me and you. It's not the superstars that are in Hollywood or, you know, that are sitting there that we know that we're never going to be able to. Yeah. One, probably even afforded or even to reach that type of thing. So yeah. It's as you say, it's not attainable to us. So we feel that with that brand there, she's already doing it because it's me and you she's talking to, and it's me and you that are
not exactly me and you. I mean, I'm not buying her makeup.
Well, I don't know about
just
that, Mark.
Just set the record straight. But I get your point. I get your point. But if it's you. I'm not judging.
Alan. No, it's not me. Believe me.
No judgment
believe me.
Here. I think a little makeup would look great on you, and I support you. And but anyway, I'm just having fun with you, of course. But I mean, and there's lots of examples like that in the book, but that's the one that really. Mm. What stood out for you? What was your favorite?
I think the American Eagle was a huge yeah. thing. I found that very, just that they were actually so in sync and so tuned in that they had these, you know, people that were teenagers, as you say, like literally on that board and just saying, yeah, we're making decisions because we know what people want. We, as opposed to the guy in the corporate office who's sitting there and he's saying, well, we do this and we do that, because it just doesn't work. And I think that is, I thought that was a very good example of the way it was actually put across with that brand. And that was one of my favorite things. There's been a few of them, like there's just some of the quotes, even, you know, transcending the public mistrust in your company through relentless honesty. I love that because I know personally, on a personal level, on my own business, I always, what you see is what you get. And that is what I've built my business on, as being, you know, that honesty and that helpfulness. Because I know when people come to me that they turn around and they say, oh, you know, I can always feel go to Alan because I know he doesn't judge me. And he, you know, even the silliest of questions he can answer. And I said, that's what I've always sort of portrayed. And when I'm doing anything with people, that I find that it's that honesty. And like that, if I don't know, you say, well, look, I don't know, but I'll go and I'll find out for you and I'll help you. And I think that is it's a cornerstone of any businesses, is that pure honesty and that helpfulness, you know?
Well, I mean, but what you're also saying is that you're running your business based on your instincts of how you want to be treated. And that's really the idea that's been lost today, is that we're treating people differently on the web than we would online. And people are people. I mean, it's behind every one of those little Twitter avatars or Facebook avatars, there's a real person who might be suffering today, yeah. or who might need you in some
important
way. And it's just the worst thing you can do is spam that person on that exact moment of their life. And maybe the best thing you can do is just find some way. And I'm not saying there's not a place for technology, and there's not a place
of course there is,
for automation. If it can help us be more human, if it can help us be more accessible and more approachable and more responsive and more interesting. That we need to use technology to tear down barriers between people, not build new barriers that makes it impossible to find, you know, the right customer service person, for example.
I totally agree with you on where you're saying it's breaking down barriers. Like, it's like where I'm talking to you now. I would have never been able to talk to you if we haven't had the power of social media to start conversations and to connect with people. And I've done that, you know, right across the world with so many different people, and even down the road here, that I would have never spoken to, that have become good friends, or I've been able to connect with them, or I've been able to help them, and likewise, they've helped me. And I think that is what social media is. And I'm blue in the face saying to people, you know, what is social media? One, it's social, and two, it's media. So the media is just the format to get it out there and get to connect with people, because I think that's the most important part. And they are the tools that you use. And, you know, it's like you're talking there about building honest and being honest and being truthful and coming from that point of view. I have had conversations with people who've said, oh, look, I see you're doing the podcast and you're talking to all these, you know, these digital marketers from around the world. Oh, we're no use. And I always say, you know, you never forget where you've come from, because if you forget where you come from and you don't ground yourself, you are never going to be that success, because you're only changing something that's not tangible. And it is, people see through that immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
You know, they see through it.
It's a great philosophy, Alan.
You know, it is. And I think, you know, and I think that's, but that's, I think, yet again, it's down to, it's being human, and it's been about being you. And I think this is what this book tells us, more so than anything, that, you know, we have to go back and sort of look and say, right, do these simple things. That's what's going to happen. And this is what's going to change. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I think that's the key. You know, my overall, I suppose the thing that I took most from it is that the customer is now in control, and that we have to be human. And as you say, you know, the most human company wins, because we will win if we do this. You know?
I agree. I believe that with all my heart, that if you can stand out in your industry, and technology is overwhelming. We can't hope to keep up with technology, but we can keep up with our customers. So if you kind of flip it a little bit and say, oh, I'm overwhelmed by technology, then just get out and talk to your customers. And then maybe we have to use technology to help serve those customers. But too often today, we're preoccupied with learning the latest thing about blockchain or virtual reality or artificial intelligence. And there's no hope. There's just no hope. We can't keep up with it all. Yeah. So I think the better focus is the very human, constant needs of our customers. What do they really need from us in their lives? Focus on those needs, and then have the technology follow if it's appropriate.
Yeah, use the technology as a tool just to help you to enhance that relationship and help you to enhance that, you know, that connection. That it's not a billboard that you're going to say, you have to do this, or you have to buy this. Because as you say yourself earlier on, you know, people don't buy into that anymore. They just don't. Right. They just go, sorry, good luck. And they switch you off quicker than, you know, so you've wasted time and effort if you are trying to do this, because you're just losing your customers. You're not actually, you know, increasing them unless you start talking to them. And I think when you do start talking, that it opens up so many different conversations and so many different avenues that you can explore with them as opposed to for them.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, well, thanks for that, Alan. Yeah, I'm really glad that the book had such a great impact on you. That means a lot.
Yeah, it has, Mark, really has. I could sit here and talk to you all day about this, because it's fascinating, and I just can't tell people enough to go out. Like everywhere I'm going now, I think I've become your biggest advocate for it in Ireland at this stage, as I just keep saying, buy this book. This is the book you need to be reading. This is, and I've referenced it in so many, even of the podcast here as well, because it's so profound. It just cuts through the crap. and just says, this is what it is, you know what I mean? And I think that is probably the key to it. And it's probably one of the best books that I've read in a very long time, since your last one. Let's just put it that way. I have to put that in there, I suppose. But so it is available. It's available everywhere on Amazon. It's available in your local bookstore. Just go and have a look at it. The name of the book is Marketing Rebellion, The Most Human Company Wins. I think it's fantastic. Mark, I ask my guests at the end of every show one simple question, and it's not related to the book, or it's not related to handling a business. And the question I always pose is, if you had the chance to invite someone to dinner, whether it be past or present, who would it be and why?
Well, there's tons of possibilities in terms of, you know, historical figures that I admire. But, you know, one person that comes to mind is when I was in graduate school, I got to study under a very amazing guy named Peter Drucker. He is the father of the management practice. He's one of the most famous business consultants and authors in the world. And I got to study under him for 3 years. And he was just the greatest man. And there's not a single day that goes by in my professional life where I don't hear his voice in my head telling me something. And I think it would be really wonderful to have a dinner with him, because he was just such a nice guy, such a great storyteller. And just also just to thank him. He died probably about 8 or 9 years ago now. And I just like to thank him and tell him what an impact he's had on my life.
Wow. Wow. Fantastic. I've heard you talk about him before, and I keep saying I must go and have a look and just do a little bit of
If you read one book, it's not his most famous book, but there's a book called Entrepreneur and Innovation that he wrote in the 80s that basically predicted the gig economy that we have today, and talks about how to sort of make innovation at the heart of your company. And it should be a blueprint for every company. It's just that good, and it's still that relevant today.
Fabulous, fabulous. Final words. What would be your two biggest tips for people who are in business, whether it be, you know, small and medium sized businesses, the larger consortiums and stuff like that? What would be your two pieces of advice that you would give them as a final note?
Well, you know, as I say in my book, and as I say in everything that I do, I mean, there's no cookie cutter answer for everything. There's lots of exceptions, but I think the thing that I would say is that so much of the advice today is me centric. It's about creating your story and the arc of your story, and starting with your why. And what I would encourage people to do is look at, it's really not about you. Nobody really cares, to be honest with you. It's about them. It's about your customers. It's not about your story. It's about their story. It's not about your why. It's about their why. And if you understand that and put that at the heart of your marketing, you will begin to transcend your competitors, I think, with something like that. Then the other thing I would say is implement something that we talked about today, is just start with reflecting on what you love. Stop doing, if you're doing things that customers hate, stop it. Think about your favorite companies and what makes them the favorite, and why you feel that emotional connection to them. And just sort of reflect on why you love being a customer, and then move that to your customers. Think about, how do you move that wisdom and move that connection to your customers? And I think it's really that simple to start creating a human-centered marketing approach for your company.
Wow, that's fantastic. Really, really strong advice there. Mark, how can people reach out to you if they want to get in contact with you?
You can find everything about me at businessesgrow.com. You can find my blog, my podcast, my books, and lots of free and interesting resources there.
Super stuff. Mark, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you here today on the podcast, and we'll have to get you back on soon as well. Yes, it's been an absolute pleasure and a delight, and we wish you continued success, and we should talk to you soon. So thanks for joining us today on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Alan.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. So my thanks to Mark for coming on the podcast today and chatting with us all about his new book. And of course, the book is Marketing Rebellion, The Most Human Company Wins. And it is available on Amazon, also on Kindle and all of the usual bookstores that you can find it worldwide. And if you have not read it, I would definitely say to you, please do get a copy of it. It will change the way you do marketing. And it'll give you such amazing insights as well. I highly recommend the book. So as I said, my thanks to Mark. If you want to find out more information about Mark, you can log on to his website, businessgrows.com. And you can also follow him on all of the usual social media platforms as well. So once again, my thanks to Mark for taking time out and coming and talking with us today. And if you'd like to listen to any of our previous podcasts, you can log on to our website at compassmedia.ie/podcasts. And all of the podcasts are also available on Mixcloud, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. And we will be delighted if you would leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, as we are always thrilled to receive your feedback on the programs here. You can also subscribe to the Social Media Talks podcast so you never miss an episode there as well. And if you'd like the show notes for this episode or for any of the previous episodes, you can log on to our website at compassmedia.ie/SM Talks show notes. And if you'd like to be a guest on the podcast, please do get in contact with us. You can email us at smtalks@compassmedia.ie. And if you'd like to find out more about the services that Compass Media provide, you can log on to our website and find out all about our services, including social media marketing, training, and podcast services as well. You can also reach out to me and connect with me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. All you have to do is search for either Alan Hennessy or for Compass Media. That's about all for today. On the next time we see you, have a great week. I've been Alan Hennessy from Compass Media for the Social Media Talks podcast. So until next week, at the same time, bye-bye. And as I always say, be social. On the next time, bye-bye.
Social Media Talks podcast is a production from compassmedia.ie.